Yeah, so we looked at we looked at the five Bitcoin bull markets. We wrote a book about it basically, and sort of like we discovered there's a lot of change in demand really that's happening, and that's why we were making this argument about it's not about the supply, it's not about the halving per se. It's something needs to be happening, underneath really that's really driving it. And I think here we were making the argument that usually Bitcoin tends to bottom out in a very quiet trading environment. So we were like expecting of because trading volumes are very low, right now. We saw this in the Robinhood data point recently released about the earnings. We also see this, of course, in the daily trading volumes. And even when we had, of course, this Iran clash, really, Bitcoin really didn't really sell off too much. We didn't really have any days with like high liquidations because a large liquidations was actually in February this year, and since then we sort of like have gone more or less sideways because the last seller has really been liquidated. Futures open interest had been more than cut in half, and I think that's why we're making the point that we don't have many sellers left, but we need more buyers. And the question really is, does Bitcoin really bottom in our equity market? Because equity markets tend to bottom out on really high volume because there's usually a policy response. It's usually the market crashes, and then a policymaker, be it from the government in terms of fiscal or monetary side from the central bank, will come out and will provide stability, liquidity, improve sentiment. And that's when equity market really bottom out on really high volume. And then you have this V-shaped move upwards. Versus Bitcoin tends to bottom out where sort of, people, really dismiss it because there's some regulatory overhang. This is how basically all the bull markets, peaked out. Of course, the 2013 bull market peaked out because China told, the local banks, the commercial banks, to stop dealing with crypto exchanges, really. Similarly, we had, of course, the 2016 17 bull market peaking out also when the SEC started to send out enforcement actions really on the ICO side. And of course, I think the 2021 bull market peaked out more in inflation repricing or interest rate repricing. But I think here there was also like this moment where people sort of like, we're thinking, okay, after all these lenders, after FTX, after or before FTX, basically, after 3 Hours Capital went under, these lenders went under, people thought about maybe there's maybe more the, enforcement action from the regulators going to step in. And so this is what we don't have this cycle anymore. So, and it seems like the last seller sort of like has sold. So it's a question now that the money is like gradually moving in. And this is what we're starting to see now. Yes, in small numbers, MicroStrategy is, of course, a big buyer, so they can have an influence. But nevertheless, money's coming back gradually. And I think that's where we can gradually go.
Yes, I was just going to mention MicroStrategy. I mean, they seem to be quite a big buyer nowadays again. They have bought a lot of Bitcoin in this year. Then the Bitcoin ETFs, they seem to be picking up as well. So you would say it's still sort of on small numbers, but it seems to be picking up. Is that what you're, is that you?
Yeah, of course, they have, of course, this ST, RC vehicle where they start to really, raise significant amount of capital, but there are not many others really deploying a lot of money. As I said, we look at on-chain liquidity. We look at also, of course, call it like real market structure liquidity. Not a lot of money comes through stable coins. Not a lot of money comes through futures open interest. So positioning is very, very light, but it doesn't seem there is an urge to sell more. There's no forced liquidation. I think that's something that has either gone very quietly. But this is something that we were expecting, that we wrote about this, I think, in November last year, after the sharp declines in October, that we're probably going to, a lot of the crypto hedge funds going to get redemption notices by end of the year. And then it might take until, let's say, end of Q1 that these redemption notices being fulfilled. So there's going to be some forced selling. But it doesn't seem, that anybody big has gone under. Or at least has been gone, quietly, really, because I think the uniqueness is that the October crash was more than 50% of the people that were stopped out were actually on Hyperliquid. So Hyperliquid is, of course, sort of like everybody. So it was really like spread out. It was not like one one large whale that went under. So it's almost like you're socializing, you know, the losses of the crash. And that's why it was like so big, you know, that time. But again, I think that the key point that we're looking at is really how much money is really coming into the market versus how much selling pressure is there. There's just not much selling pressure there. And that's why actually it takes very little money right now to push the market up. And I think that's why it's kind of interesting where we see these flows from MicroStrategy, because, you know, people try to front run them, people try to work around it. And as long as the market expects that they can pay the monthly dividends, which might be, you know, another 12 months if the market doesn't go up. But as long as, you know, the market has this confidence in, you know, dividend payments, they probably can raise a lot of money because you can easily monitor it, you know, how these, you know, shares or that share class is really trading and the yield that it pays, right? So, you know, as long as that's the case, you know, you're paying 11% yield. And for some people, that's sort of like good enough, especially if it's, you know, fully funded by, let's say, 4% funding rate. So that's sort of like, you know, 7% yield. And that's good enough for a lot of people, as long as Bitcoin doesn't really go down. So,